Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
At a meeting of Southeast Asian nations in California, President Barack Obama is looking to solidify America's leadership role in the Asia-Pacific region. All 10 members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, are meeting with the U.S. at the historic Rancho Mirage Retreat in Sunnylands. Behind the beautiful backdrop, the leaders will take on difficult issues important to the region. Obama hopes to continue his Asian pivot to place more American political and military power in the fast-growing area. The U.S. and China are competing for influence among Asian nations. The talks will include closer relationships on people, trade, and commerce, cooperation against violent extremism, and establishing rules and principles to guide nations on different issues. A main discussion point will be territorial disputes in the South China Sea and China's increasing activities in the region. White House officials said the U.S. will send a very clear message to ASEAN leaders that it opposes China's militarization of the disputed territories and any increase in tensions there. The U.S. is not a claimant in the South China Sea disputes, but it will continue to press for freedom of navigation. The U.S. interest in the South China Sea is the free flow of commerce, said Ben Rhodes, White House Deputy National Security Advisor. The administration says ASEAN is the heart of the Asia-Pacific, and the best way to build a structure for peaceful and legal pursuit of interest. The more that we can establish clear rules of the road for how issues are managed, for how disputes are resolved, the more stable and prosperous this region is going to stay going forward, said Rhodes. North Korea's recent rocket testing is also expected to be discussed at the meeting. The U.S. and ASEAN leaders will discuss how China can help pressure Pyongyang to end its provocative actions. The U.S. and China disagree on North Korea, but the U.S. sees common interest in keeping the Korean Peninsula nuclear-free. We are exceptionally candid in confronting the main differences and tensions that exist between us, said Daniel Crittenbrink, National Security Council Senior Director for Asian Affairs. He said, "Our relationship with China is stable and complex." Daniel R. Russell is Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs. He said, "The ASEAN summit is not about China, but about creating an ASEAN committed to rules and fairness. It allows major countries like the United States and other powers to engage constructively as partners," Russell said. Obama will speak about human rights and democracy at the meeting, but administration officials said ASEAN countries have very different political models and human rights and democracy records. American officials say that countries that show positive movement towards democracy, like Myanmar, will get U.S. support. Oh. A group of actors in Jordan are using theater to spread an anti-terror message. And in the United States, President Obama has called for Muslim leaders to speak out against terrorism. Mario Ritter reports.
In Jordan, some people are using theater to suggest a different path than terrorism. The goal is to use actors to show dangers facing young people who join the Islamic State or other terrorist groups. Our role is to produce plays, TV drama, tackling the danger of extremism, a Jordanian actor told VOA. It is considered a powerful way to fight extremist ideology. The goal is to offer another view than the one presented by terrorist groups through social media. He said terrorists are using social media to seduce youth. A Jordanian actress said she is playing a mother trying to protect her children from extremism. The theater group aims its shows at university students. The shows call for taking care of family and respect for all religions. The group mixes serious messages with humor. The actors say they cannot get their message across if they take a serious tone throughout the shows. In the United States, President Barack Obama recently visited a mosque. He talked about ways to combat terrorism. Obama said it is important for Americans to show respect for Muslims and all they do for the U.S., including serving in the military and Department of Homeland Security. I want every American to remember how Muslim communities are standing up for others, Obama said. Because right now, as we speak, there are Muslims in Kenya who saved Christians from terrorists, and Muslims who just met in Morocco to protect religious minorities, including Christians and Jews. He also said Muslim leaders should speak out against terrorism. And while Obama said Muslims should feel free to criticize the United States, a right belonging to all Americans, there should be a balance. Muslim political leaders have to push back on the lie that the West oppresses Muslims, and against conspiracy theories that say America is the cause of every ill in the Middle East, Obama said. I'm Mario Ritter.
China is projected to become the number one motion picture market by the end of the year. Hollywood is using Chinese-themed plots and characters to attract the Chinese to the movies. Jim Dressback has more.
The motion picture Kung Fu Panda 3 is a prime example of Hollywood trying to attract more Chinese movie ticket buyers. Hollywood understands that China is the second largest movie market in the world. The country will become the biggest movie market within a year when it overtakes the United States. Last year, cinema ticket sales in China added up to $6.6 billion. The American motion picture community has developed strategies to play a larger role in filmmaking and distribution in China. The premiere date for Kung Fu Panda 3 was carefully selected to get more people to the cinemas. The opening date coincided with the Chinese New Year. So the animated American movie earned more than $100 million in ticket sales that day in China. American film companies are making movie viewing more convenient for the Chinese public. DreamWorks is the film company that produced Kung Fu Panda 3. DreamWorks produced two versions of the film for domestic Chinese audiences. In America, theaters showed the film in both Mandarin and English. Kung Fu Panda 3 went around a bit of Chinese tradition during the new year. The film was allowed to show during the holiday. Most foreign films are not allowed to show in China during a New Year celebration. The film received screen time because it was co-produced in China by DreamWorks' Chinese partner, Shanghai's Oriental DreamWorks. I'm Jim Dressbach.
High school students at the Career Center in Arlington, Virginia, are learning firsthand how to care for animals. Ann Ball has the story.
Talking birds, goats butting heads, and a giant tortoise that hangs out with chickens are all part of a living classroom. High school students at the Career Center in Arlington, Virginia, are learning firsthand and hands-on how to care for animals. They are at the Animal Science Laboratory learning about and taking care of about 50 species of animals. Holding a happy rabbit in her arms, Eleni Alamu says it is so cute. She says soon she will be getting one of her own. Miguel Zambrano doesn't feel the same way about Snickers. That is a temperamental brown miniature horse. Zambrano is feeding her hay, hoping she will let him brush her.
She just gets mad if you just sometimes don't even pay attention to her. I do not want a horse. It's going to be way too much work.
Zambrano is one of 70 students taking the year-long animal science program. Students learn in class and hands-on with the animals. It gives them both class credit and a chance to learn what it is like to work with animals. Sydney Miller takes a rabbit for a walk to give it exercise. She takes the animal on a leash, like a dog. They walk past cages of rats, salamanders, and even a hedgehog.
I wanted to learn more about different kinds of animals and get like a hands-on experience.
Something not so fun she has to do is clean the rabbit's cage. Rabbits are very dirty, actually, she explains.
I have to clean his litter box and his bedding every day.
One day, Miller hopes to be a veterinary technician. Many high schools have animal science programs, but animal science teacher Cindy Shaw says this program is different because they have a large number of different kinds of animals. They include exotic sugar gliders, small nocturnal marsupials with big eyes that live in Australia and Indonesia. The students take turns every 2 weeks taking care of a different animal, everything from cats to the less-than-human-friendly scorpions. Shaw explains that the students learn hand-taming. They have to hold them for at least 10 minutes. Yes, that includes snakes and even tarantulas, a kind of sometimes deadly spider. Shaw says she helps the student by first holding the animal herself. Part of the care includes weighing the animals and checking them for any health problems. Sarah Mahler looks into the eyes of a rodent, a degu.
I have to see if there's any little eyelashes or anything in the way or scratches.
Kimberly Rodriguez learned something new when she fed a turtle a small dead mouse in a tank with fish. She says she was surprised to find out the turtle eats meat and he gets along with the fish. Lab assistant Rebecca Brumbaugh helps the students. She says that, like people, animals have minds of their own.
They have their good days and their bad days.
Megan Johnson wants to be a vet. She pet a chinchilla as she held it.
The different animals have different personalities and they connect with different humans.
Reuben Stan weighs a golden-colored albino horned frog. He says he feels an emotional bond with animals.
We have to kind of make a little connection. For me, it's very relaxing.
And connecting to the natural world is not always easy for the students living in the mostly urban Virginia towns just outside Washington, D.C. I'm Ann Ball.
From VOA, Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Willpower is a mysterious force that helps us to control our actions and achieve our goals. We also call willpower determination, drive, and self-control. The American Psychological Association defines willpower this way. Willpower is the ability to resist short-term temptations in order to meet long-term goals. Willpower allows us to ignore unwanted thoughts, feelings, or desires. Willpower is a limited resource that you can use up. That last part is important. The theory that our willpower is limited is where psychology experts are divided. For many years, in the world of psychology, the widely accepted theory has been that our willpower, our self-control, is limited. If we are not careful, we can use up our willpower before a task is completed or before a goal is reached. Psychologists who believe that willpower is a limited resource say, using up our willpower is the main reason some of us fail to achieve our goals. However, in recent years, other psychologists have challenged this theory. A new theory says that the amount of our available willpower is affected by our attitudes about willpower. But first, let's go back to the limited supply theory. An experiment back in the 1990s formed the popular theory in psychology that your willpower is limited. The experiment is known as the chocolate and radish experiment. Researchers put 67 study subjects in a room that smelled of freshly baked chocolate cookies. Sounds good, right? Wrong. Instead of warm, rich chocolate cookies, researchers gave one group radishes to eat, cold, bitter radishes. The other group of subjects ate the chocolate cookies. Then researchers asked both groups to solve a difficult puzzle. The group that ate the radishes gave up on the puzzle after 9 minutes. The group that ate chocolate cookies worked twice as long on figuring out the puzzle. The researchers concluded that the group that resisted the chocolate cookies had used up their willpower. Willpower is like a muscle that can lose strength and tire. Other experiments that support this theory have found that willpower is like a hungry child in need of a sugar fix. When we use our willpower, it robs our brain of energy, or glucose. So feeding the brain a little sugar when doing a difficult task helps you to fill up your willpower resource. But a new theory contradicts the idea
that willpower is limited and can be charged up with sugar. Carol Dweck is a professor of psychology at Stanford University. In 2013, she and her team asked 87 college students in Germany, Switzerland, and the United States to describe their beliefs on willpower. Some said they believed willpower is a limited resource. Others said they believed willpower was plentiful and even increases the more it is used. Dweck then asked the study subjects to complete a difficult mental task. This first task was followed by a second that required the subject to resist an impulse and use their willpower. Dweck described the results in an interview with Live Science. She said those who believed their willpower was limited grew tired after the first task. They performed poorly on the second task. But if they received a sugary drink before the second task, they performed better. Dweck also said that people who believed willpower is limited were always looking for signs that they were running out of willpower, or they thought they needed the sugar fix. However, the study subjects who believed willpower was unlimited did not tire during the second task, and they did not need a sugar boost. Dweck said the results suggest that willpower is not in limited supply. Instead, it is people's beliefs about willpower that shape their behavior. She and her team published their findings in August of 2013 in the journal The Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. But what do these studies mean to you? Regardless of what you believe, the American Psychological Association website has advice for people trying to achieve their goals. Avoid temptations. If you believe that your willpower is limited, remove outside temptations. This way, you will not waste your willpower. As the expression goes, out of sight, out of mind. Make a plan. For example, if you have to study over the weekend, set aside a certain period of time to get your work done, but also make time for fun, too. Think about your motivations. Are your goals your own or someone else's? Studies and common sense suggest that people who pursue goals that are their own are more motivated to reach them. Focus on one goal at a time. Many push their willpower too much. They try to quit smoking, save money, lose weight, and get a better job all at the same time. This may use up their willpower if they believe in the limited supply theory. Instead, focus on one goal at a time. Think you can. There is evidence to support that if you believe you can do it, you can. A little positive thinking goes a long way. I'm Anna Mateo.
Finally, scientists have proved Albert Einstein's theory that gravitational waves exist. The waves were predicted as part of Einstein's general theory of relativity nearly 100 years ago. It was the theory of the physics behind the workings of our world and the universe. Here again is Ann Ball.
The idea was that the waves are like ripples in space, caused by some of the violent and energetic processes in the universe. For example, two black holes crashing into each other. Now, a group of scientists, including ones from Caltech, MIT, and the LIGO scientific collaboration finally found the gravitational waves. David Reitze is executive director of the LIGO Observatory at Caltech.
We have detected gravitational waves. We did it.
Reitze spoke with others at a press conference in Washington, D.C. this past week. The scientists announced they were able to see ripples in the fabric of space-time. This is what the waves sounded like. Listen for the chirp sound at the end. What are these gravitational waves? Well, imagine throwing a rock into a pond. When the rock hits the flat surface of the water, it creates ripples or waves. Space-time is like the surface of the water. So that means gravitational waves are like the ripples moving out from where the rock hits the water. It might be hard to understand, but those gravitational waves expand and contract space and time as they move through space. And when they get to the Earth, the waves pass through and contract and expand the planet as the wave goes by. It was Einstein who said these gravitational waves should be observable. But these are not huge waves. They are very, very small, which is why it took so long to find them. You cannot see them with your eyes. They are smaller than the size of an atom. How did the scientists find them? They used a giant scientific tool called LIGO, which stands for the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory. The billion-dollar LIGO project is two L-shaped observatories. One is in Louisiana, and one is in Washington State. Their job was to watch for these gravitational waves. They have been looking on and off since 2002. For years, scientists have been watching two black holes in another galaxy far away. The two were spinning around each other, moving closer and closer together. When they finally crashed into each other, it was with such power and force that gravitational waves rang throughout the universe like a giant bell. Those waves, traveling at the speed of light, finally reached the Earth some 1.3 billion years later. They are the same waves that the scientists announced this past week. The National Science Foundation tweeted that each of the black holes was thought to be 29 to 36 times the mass of our sun. So, what does this discovery mean? Abhay Ashtekar is a Penn State physicist who was not on the discovery team. He said, "Our understanding of the heavens changed dramatically." I'm Ann Ball.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.